Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio. Kyle Quinn in for Hugh on this side of the glass today. Buzz in for Kyle. It's Kyle and Buzz with me today. Hugh is out. Welcome on in. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to get to. Rhea joins us, as always, at 10:30 on a Monday. We'll get to something pretty wild CJ GJ said about the Eagles, but he might have a point. The future of the Phillies TV network might be in some danger here, and the Phillies continue to win at a wild pace. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Buzz. Good morning, Philadelphia. I did wear my You People shirt today, so everybody be super nice to me in the chat.
Oh, they can see it the whole show now.
I know we all miss you, but it's me today, but I'm trying to placate to the You People.
I like that. All right, well,
keep your comments nice.
The opposite of Douglas, trying to placate to the You People. All right, we got a lot to get to today, including a great giveaway we'll tell you about that is themed off of Hugh Douglas. Of course it is. He's not here, so we get to make fun of him, and that's what we do. Even when he's here, we make fun of him. But we got a lot to get into. And Kyle, all the Phillies do is win. I mean, they go to New York. They win 2 out of 3. Friday night, the Derek Hill catch, which I think I text you. He's my favorite player on the Phillies.
He's the man.
I love Derek Hill. Awesome catch Friday, and they get well-pitched game yesterday at Elizardo. And look, Saturday was a blip. That happens. I mean, they have run help pitches Saturday, but they win on Friday. They win yesterday. They win, what, 3 against the Nats, 2 against the Mets. They win 5 on this road trip, come home tonight against the Pirates. And now they're 38-18 under Don Mattingly. I mean, Kyle, this team has gone from 10 games under 500 to 10 games over quicker than any team in the history of baseball.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think they're up to July 1st, right?
Yep.
Like, they're the only team to ever do that. It's amazing what a turnaround can do. I think we tossed it around, like, firing the manager, it's the only big lever they can pull. I didn't expect it to make this big of a difference.
I didn't either.
It's crazy.
No, I did not. And look, Don Mattingly has done an incredible job. I always think when there's the manager switch, it becomes like, who's that really gets the credit, the players or the manager? Here's what I know. They both deserve credit. The players have mostly been awesome. Schwarber hit his 30th home run yesterday. And then we had, of course, Harper, who's just gone off the last week, right? Bryce Harper looks like he belongs in the All-Star game, and I'm sure he's going to get there some way, somehow. They got the pitching going. They got Duran going. This team is a true contender right now, only 3 games back. And, Kyle, it's to the point now with Don Mattingly where I think the Phillies should do something that kind of affirms how good of a job he has done. And that is they should take the interim tag off. Make Don Mattingly the manager of the baseball team. Because, you know, when you're an interim, it's like you're not really the guy, right? Mm-hmm. You're sitting in the chair. You are the guy, but you know deep down you're not really the guy.
Like me today.
Like you're the interim
for
you.
I'm in the chair, yeah.
I mean, Jack, when he was in, you know, a couple years ago in the afternoon, right? He was kind of the interim. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
You could do a really good job as the interim, but not be the guy.
Yes.
And you kind of know that or feel that. So what the Phillies could do is change that. They didn't do that in 2022. They let it go the whole season, even through the World Series. And I guess by the time we got to October, everyone knew that they'd bring Topper back. But I think that what they could do now is give Don Mattingly the seal of approval and say, you're our manager. Take the interim tag off this guy. Make him the manager at least for the rest of the season. And then we go into the offseason. And the thing for me that stands out is when this happened, Dave Dombrowski sat there and basically said, Don Mattingly's not really who I want. I mean, he said that. He said he wanted Alex Cora.
Yep.
He reached out to Alex Cora. That Alex Cora thing still hovers out there for whenever they hit a down streak or the offseason or whatever. I would take the interim tag off, show Don Mattingly, hey, we appreciate the job you've done, reward the guy, make him the manager of this baseball team the rest of the season. And I'll say this last thing. It always felt to me with Topper, even when they re-signed him to contracts, they never really were fully in on Topper.
No.
They gave him 1-year deals with an option, 2-year deals. They never really gave him the full seal of approval and said, you're our manager. Do that for Don Mattingly. He's done an incredible job. This is manager of the year kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do it. Take the interim tag off of Don Mattingly. Kyle, you don't sound as ready.
Well, I guess I don't understand what the rush is. Like, I agree he's earned it, quote unquote, but I don't know who earns anything in baseball over a 56-game period. Like, I think when you have something going, like, things are going great right now. They're 38-18, whatever. But, like, if you have a hot lineup, do you start tweaking things? Or, like, you keep it rolling because that's what seemed to be working. Like, maybe him not being the guy or not, you know, being secure that he's the guy is part of why he's managing with more reckless abandon or with more urgency, things like that. Like, I don't want to change something just for the sake of rewarding somebody only 56 games into this thing. Like, I like what they have going right now. And Mattingly, I think, deserves a ton of credit for the turnaround. I know we're going to get to some audio here about, you know, how he spoke to the team. And I just think the change from Topper to him it's clearly proven itself to have worked. But this isn't the time of the season to start rewarding people. Like, let's not lose sight of what the goal is here. They have to go, you know, like, we don't know if there's baseball next season. This team is old. We don't know what how long until this window closes. They have to go try and win the World Series this year. So I'm not ready to just go say, like, hey, good job, you did it. It's not even July yet. And we want to go say, here you go, like, congrats, that's it.
So, they don't have to do anything, right? They could wait. They could wait till the season ends, see how it all plays out. I think there's pros and cons to both sides. I'm in the camp of take the interim tag off, make him the manager. And you said something that I think is true and interesting. We've talked about it a lot. He's managed almost as if he doesn't know he has the job, right? Like, he's managing for today, for tomorrow, and not for next year. And I appreciate that. But it is a long season, and I do wonder if a little job security for him and for the team will let them all exhale. And I don't want him to take his foot off the gas because I like the way they're playing.
Yeah.
But I'll just use Duran as an example. They've used Duran a lot, and he's been phenomenal. But like as we get to August and September, I don't need Don Mattingly to think I have to win every game to keep the job. I need him to get the team ready for the postseason. So if that means he kind of takes a big picture look at things instead of just the small picture, that could also be a good thing. Because you know, you can get in trouble if you just are pushing every day of the season.
Yeah, I just think you only really stand to lose here by doing this. Like, they have something really good going right now.
Yep.
It's not the time for me to change something. Like, I really do think part of the reason that they're playing this well is because a lot of the team has taken on the attitude that he has of, like, F it. I don't know what's going to happen past October or next year. Like, that we have what we have right now in this moment. It's working. Keep it going. It's not time to start rewarding people. Like, Kyle Schwarber didn't earn his extension 56 games into the season last year as well as he played. It's just too small of an amount of time for me to start like handing out rewards. Good job, accomplishment. It's not time to make him the full time manager.
So you're right, he didn't earn it. But I think a lot of us would have been okay if they re-signed Schwarber during the season. Now, if I remember right, you didn't want it. You wanted to wait, right?
Yeah. I think it worked out.
So this kind of fits the way you want it. You make people wait to earn things rather than just give it. I've seen enough. I want Mattingly to be the manager long term, and I'd make him the manager right now. 215-592-9494. Let's hear a story that was relayed on the broadcast over the weekend. It was Friday night. With SNY, and it's interesting because, you know, we heard some stories when Mattingly took over that, you know, kind of he's similar to Topper, but a little bit different. It was subtleties. But this was way different, and we did not hear this story before. SNY got this story. Listen to it about Don Mattingly and what he told the Phillies when he took over here. Well, they are in striking distance. Now only three back of the Braves. That story is fascinating because we did not hear that locally. I mean, we heard variations of he came in and he said it's kind of on you guys now, but like the I need you to fight for me stuff, that, you know, everyone keeps saying him and Topper are similar, and I'm sure there's a lot of similarities, but that's different. We didn't hear that kind of stuff from Topper.
I'm not sure I ever really thought they were similar, and I don't know. So I guess part of me is saying, is it Mattingly that's the reason for the change, or really does it just sort of happen to be a coincidence? You know what I relate it to? Remember when we did the Trey Turner ovation?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, wow, like they stood up and clapped for him and he turned it around. But
Jack saved
Trey
Turner.
But we also found out that he made an adjustment with his swing. He
also got to play the Royals that weekend.
Well, so like Bryce Harper started off the season horrendously. Did Bryce Harper turn his season around because Don Mattingly yelled at him? Or is it because he's Bryce Harper and that was always probably going to be in there?
Yeah.
Did the pitching staff turn it around because Don Mattingly came in and yelled at him, or because they got Zach Wheeler back? Like, I don't know. I do think it's gone a little bit overboard, and I understand the want to do that because of what the record is under Don Mattingly, but, like, it's not all Don Mattingly. Like, they fired Topper because that was the only lever to pull, but that wasn't the biggest change they could have possibly made with the team. The players just had to start playing better, and they did.
Well, and Wheeler came back, and Wheeler's been phenomenal. 19-4 in the Wheeler and Sanchez starts. I do feel this. There was an awkwardness to the managerial switch because when Dombrowski got up there and basically said, I wanted Alex Cora, and he said, no, I have Don Mattingly now. Like that, to me, that still hovers over all this, that there is a chance that Alex Cora is the manager next season. That's who really this guy wants. I don't know what Don Mattingly thinks. He might just be enjoying this and not thinking too much about it. He gets to work with his son. But I also wonder, does he deep down wonder, like, am I their guy? Or are they going to knock me out of here no matter what I do for Alex Cora? That if you take the interim tag off, at least you let this guy know, hey, thanks for what you've done. You're our guy now. The way Topper became their guy. I'm sure no one thought Topper was going to be the guy in 22. And then all of a sudden, he managed here for 4 years.
But they didn't take the interim tag off of Topper in 22.
They didn't, but they should have.
Well, I don't know if I agree.
I argued for it then.
They went furthest of any iteration of this team had. And that was, you know, who knows? I don't know if it's a one-for-one thing. But sometimes I think there's something to managing or playing with that sense of effort. I don't know what the future holds. I'm going to be in the moment right now, and that sense of urgency I think has bore out here, and I don't want to tweak anything right now. I just don't want to play with it.
215-592-9494. That's the phone number to jump in here. Should the Phillies take the interim tag off of Don Mattingly? I'm ready to do it. 38-18 through 56 games is a remarkable record. I think the guy's done a great job, and I'll use this word. I am comfortable with the idea that he's the manager, not just the rest of the season, but moving forward. And I know he's not in his 30s and he's in his 60s, so I'm not saying he's going to manage for 10 years. But I'm good with the idea of, for the foreseeable future, Don Mattingly is the manager of the Phillies. I'm comfortable with it. And 2 months ago, I wouldn't have been. I would have said, this is cool. Yeah. Alex Cora is still out there. We'll see what the future of the team holds. I've accepted, and I like the idea of Mattingly taking this team where they go.
I guess the way I put it is, I'm glad that they seem to be still uncomfortable. Like, I don't think this team is walking around like they've accomplished anything. They're still 3 games back of the
Braves. Which is good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, they have goals to achieve here. So that's why I just feel like it's sort of talking out of both sides of your mouth if you start making people feel like they've accomplished something when they haven't really yet.
Buzz in for Kyle on that side of the glass today. Buzz, what are you doing here with Donnie Baseball?
I am not extending Don Mattingly, and I think the best point in the entire argument was what Kyle just said, which is they have not accomplished anything. Just as quickly as they got 10 games below 500, they have now gotten to 10 games above 500 just past the midpoint of the season. How ridiculous would you look if you pulled off the interim tag and then, I don't think it's going to happen, but like, God forbid you miss the playoffs or you skid from this point out. You have to see at the very least the end of this regular season. I wouldn't even remotely consider it until they clinch a playoff spot. I don't think Don Mattingly's going anywhere, regardless of whether you pull it off or not. And I kind of like that he's managing on fire. You're saying it's a negative, like he's uncomfortable. I think it's a positive. Yeah. I would not pull it off the interim tag just yet.
Are we going to have an interim tag manager when manager of the year in the National League? He might be the manager of the year. I mean, think about the managers, right? Like Dave Roberts is good, but he has all that talent. Yeah. He's not going to win the award. I think Pat Murphy and Milwaukee's won 2 in a row. I just think they're not going to give him a 3rd in a row.
Yeah, I don't know who the other candidates would be.
Or Walt like Weiss with the Braves, but like, all right, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to have a better case than Don Mattingly?
I don't think so. So an interim tag manager of the year? I can't do it. I need to give him the job.
Well, that's how he gets rewarded at the end of the season. Get the manager of the year, and then you extend him. I think what Buzz said is true. Just as quickly as they won 10 games in a row, they could, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but there could be regression back to the mean, right?
Sure.
That could mean another 10-game losing streak. I mean, a 5-game losing streak, whatever. Like, I know things are great right now, but it's only 56 games into the Mattingly tenure.
It is, and it's been an amazing 56 games. I mean, this is 38-18 is above and beyond what any of us thought they would do. I mean, did anyone feel that coming? I didn't see that coming.
Well, not before July. Not before July.
No.
Not before July. I did say, and I was on record, all it takes is one 9-10 game win streak.
Well, and they had that.
And they're back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the benefit.
That's just simple math, I think. Yeah.
Damn right, Buzz.
It's the benefit of having a bad April, that you have a long time to have one of those streaks. Jeff in Wilmington starts us off here. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
Kyle, you're going to get crushed today, you people.
Whatever.
Just because. not for any take
I
or
wore
anything,
the shirt.
Because. You know it.
I wore the shirt, Jeff.
So I initially told Buzz that they probably should go ahead and take the interim tag off. But listening to Buzz and Kyle's argument, it kind of makes sense. What if this is the case? What if Mattingly doesn't want to manage past this year? What if he said, all right, I'll just do it for the rest of this year? Like, are we taking that into consideration? Because he's never said either way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's fair. He might not want to. I mean, he told us in spring training he didn't know if he had the energy for this. Right now, I wondered when he said that, was he just trying to pay deference to Topper and not cause a headline? I mean, he's been around the game a long time. If he says to us in spring training, hey, I'd love to manage again, then we know what we're going to talk about. So I don't know what that means. Look, he's not 75. He's like 65. He can manage another 5 years, you know, based on how this goes.
Sure.
So but Jeff, it's a fair point. Maybe he only wants to do this for a year. Maybe he's just helping them out and then he's going to move on. Which, could you imagine if they run off like a 65% winning percentage his whole time here, and then at the end of the year, he's like, all right, I'm going home now. That'd be wild.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you know, they didn't initially apparently didn't want him as that was not their first choice.
Right.
But I will say this, Buzz kind of poo-pooed the fact that what have they done? Well, they had done something that no other team has done in the history of baseball. They went from 10 under to 10 over in the shortest amount of time.
Hang a banner.
There is something there. Huh?
No, hang a banner.
I'm not hanging a banner.
All right, well, then what are we doing? It's 56 games. It's a fun little stat.
No, this is more than fun.
But that's not – nobody's accomplished anything.
Well, are you in the camp where they're beating bad teams, but they're not beating them by enough?
Not necessarily.
Mentality.
No, Jeff.
Jeff.
I'm just in the camp of this thing is going well right now. Like, what? Why am I changing? Okay, but like, I'll put it to you this way, and I think what we just mentioned with him maybe not even wanting the job, he might not even have the energy for it. What if he's kind of like a relief pitcher? He knows he's only out here for a few innings, and he's throwing all of his bullets. He's exhausting everything. He's just putting everything into this stretch that he has right now, and then he's out. Like that could be a part of it. I don't want to give him that sense of accomplishment just yet. I need him to have something to keep looking forward to accomplishing.
Or all he's really done is lit a fire under the players, and they're playing to their capability.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not giving him all the credit, but these guys actually were sleepwalking along with the previous manager.
Yeah,
and they woke up. So
I agree with you, and changing the manager to Mattingly from Topper was the right move. They probably should have done it.
Needed. Oh yeah, for
they
sure.
They probably should have done it earlier than they did.
They probably should have done it in the offseason, if we're being honest.
Probably should have. You know, but I do also think there is something to them doing it when they did. Like they almost kind of had to. It's like putting a dog's face in when he pees on the carpet or something. You know, like, look what you've done.
So the Phillies are the dog?
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess. Right. Like, that just popped into my head. But, like...
And so Dombrowski's the dog owner.
It was on full display. It's like, guys, we're 10 games below 500, and then they do something.
This is
and then,
what you did.
Yeah, and then he yells at him. And but, like, it's, I don't know.
So you want to basically hang the carrot out there and keep...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
okay,
and
I'm down with that.
I get that point, Jeff. I get that point from you and Kyle and Buzz. What I'll say is this, though, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the Mattingly thing, because I think he's doing a great job, and I expect him to continue. I do think, though, there is, like, in a baseball season, you can't keep your foot on the gas from April to September. You will burn the players out. And I think it's been necessary to do that because they were so bad, right? Like, to get from 10 under in April to 10 over in June, you need to have your foot on the gas, right? Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
Yep.
But if he manages this way the whole season, there is a chance he burns them out. And I wonder if he has a little security and he knows I'm the guy, then he could think more big picture about this. Because right now, Don Mattingly manages like he doesn't know if he's going to be here tomorrow. And that has had success so far. But like, I could use a football analogy. Like if you had a head coach that was an interim and he had a running back that was running well and he just runs him into the ground. Well, then is he out of gas by December and January? Like, is there a trade-off? Everything Don Mattingly has done has gone great so far. I'm happy with him as a manager. But if he keeps managing this way, there is a chance we get to September. I'm like, man, why does Duran look like he's tired? Yeah. Oh, Don Mattingly used him 50 times in June, July, and August because he didn't know if he had the job. This might help give him a little security. Maybe that helps the team.
And you know what? That could just be a product of them having fallen into the hole that they had. Like they might put themselves in a situation where they're tiring themselves out just trying to catch the Braves sealing their playoff spot in September. Like I don't know if that's it's a chicken or the egg type thing, right? Is it Mattingly doing that, or is it the situation they put themselves in and why Mattingly's really here in the first place?
Well, it could be, and that we won't know until we see it play out. Chris in Middletown is up. What's up, Chris?
Happy Where's Waldo, man.
Happy Where's Douglas Day. What's up, Chris?
My guess is he's probably tied up at Skip's basement. But, guys, Joe, you got your work cut out for you today.
I know. I'm trying to do the right thing and give Don Mattingly a little boost here. And I got, you know, these people over here saying, wait. There's no reason to wait.
I'm not of the participation trophy generation, Chris.
That's
I'm trying to win the championship.
Is. That's not what this is. Come on now.
Listen, you got rid of Doubtful Douglas, and then you get stuck with the commander-in-chief, Kyle.
He'll be back.
And then, Buzz the boat anchor over there. They just want to throw wet blankets and fun all over anything.
Yeah,
you know?
We're just trying to reward performance.
I'm having a great time.
That's all. You and I reward great performance. That's what we do.
Joe, as usual, you and I, we see things more clearly.
You guys are both dopes.
Yep.
Guys, listen, Of course, Mattingly wants to be the manager. I don't care what he said earlier. Guys, he took the job knowing full well Thompson was on the hot seat. We all knew that. We all knew when Don got hired why he was hired, because the first thing to go was going to be the zombie. They didn't fire the hitting coach, Keith Long, like we all called for. They fired the zombie. They ended him. And of course, he knew what was going on. His son's the general manager. You don't think he told him, say, hey, Pop, this dude's about ready to go. You want to coach the Philly? Because you're next in line. So come on. Like, wake up, people. Like, just don't be dopes, okay? And Mattingly is this guy that turned the team around. Not only does he make the right moves, but, Joe, you keep pounding these knuckleheads in the head with the facts here.
Mm-hmm.
He actually disciplines them. He's benched Bohm multiple times. He gives him a day of rest when he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And, like, he sits Turner, which, you know, Turner stinks, so he needs a lot of sitting. He does do that. The zombie never did any of this stuff. He just let these guys run wild. That's not what's going on. And as far as the Alex Cora pipe dream, let me predict the future here. Let me get out my crystal ball. Philadelphia, if that's your dream, you're about to be heartbroken again, because he's going to take the Mets job. That's why they fired their guy. We're going to be used again as leverage, and they're going to overpay for him just like they did with us with Bo Bichette. And we're going to end up holding the bag in the end going, what in the hell happened to us, because we didn't get our guy, and our hearts are going to get broken. So you have a known commodity that has got this team playing, and more importantly, this is the team you need to win with now. You secure him, you lock it in, you go full tilt.
Chris, I agree, man. And you know what? The core thing, I think, is a subplot to this. And it would be awkward if they didn't give Mattingly the interim tag, take it off, until Cora goes somewhere else.
Yeah,
and then it would feel like, we really didn't want you, but you're a second choice. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Should the Phillies take the interim tag off of Don Mattingly? 38-18 since he took over. I say yes. Kyle's pushing back, saying no. Kyle in for Hugh today. We got a lot to get to. Rhea's going to join us next segment, and we have an incredible prize to give away today as part of Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend here in Philadelphia. We'll tell you how. It involves Hugh Douglas. That's my little hint for you. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. What a week of calls by Fransky.
Yeah, Fransky's having a good run.
On a heater.
You know how you know, if you didn't see it, if you just watched, just listened, Fransky doesn't miss when he thinks it's a home run, and he gave the it's going.
Oh
call.
Yeah, oh, he gave the it's going out.
Yeah, the only way that wouldn't go out is if Hill stole it.
Oh, yeah.
that was clearly a home run.
It should have gone out.
Yeah, of course.
And one run game too, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
That's the game deciding play.
They are 18-6, best in baseball in one run games.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say since Derek Hill got here.
Yeah,
they might be something close to that since he got here. I mean, they've been amazing.
They went 5-2 on the road trip.
Yes, and then before that, they beat the Mets 2 out of 3 here. He's been here, 3 weeks now, Derek Hill? I think it's
at least
about 3 weeks.
Two or three. And nobody thought gave it a second thought when they acquired him.
Well, you know what? Maybe I could be misremembering. Doesn't it feel like Dombrowski does better with the more nondescript, like the Mundo Sosa, Derek Hill type move?
Than the
big trade deadline acquisitions.
Well, Duran.
Bader and Duran were his best by far. But, I mean, the past few, more uninspiring than not,
yeah,
I would say.
Well, yeah, and they were desperate when they lost
Adolis. Yeah.
And he's been great. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phone lines, Rhea, where are you on the idea of taking the interim tag off of Don Mattingly?
You always want to rush things.
I do, yeah.
You have no patience for anything.
Slow. Zero. You're good or bad?
You're like a 5-year-old. I mean,
good or bad?
Yeah, I know.
I'll fire people. I'll extend people.
You'll hire them back the next day.
Listen,
I mean, it's impressive. I wouldn't do it right now, and I don't know. I mean, he made it very clear that he didn't want the manager's job, although I assumed from the moment he got here he was taking over for Topper at some point.
Me too.
Which I didn't think they should have gone into the season with that. I didn't think that was a great idea. In that comment that Steve Gelbs, got from Brandon Marsh, that Mattingly called a team meeting and said, I'm tired of a quiet clubhouse. I'm tired of a quiet dugout. I don't care what your name is. I don't care who you are. Mm. I want somebody to fight.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, what he was saying is, you guys are acting like a lifeless baseball team.
Wake up.
Yeah, and I will not have it anymore.
You think he might have been calling out a player in particular?
I don't care who you are and what your name is.
Those things sort of, don't they kind of
lead
you?
Does he play first base?
He plays first base. He makes $330 million.
Yep.
His name rhymes with Schmeiss Schmarper.
And he was the one that said we were kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop with the manager?
Correct.
Like, it's dropped now, Bryce. Let's go.
Oh, now we can play.
Yeah.
And so, then he put his hand on Marsh's shoulder.
And he put his hand on Bohm's shoulder, as you would say, and it's rescued his season. All right, so for you, Rhea, would it be the end of the year? Like, when do we go from, hey, he's just here for now, to he's the manager? Because we did this 4 years ago, right? Yeah. Topper was interim. And I remember during that summer, I started to wonder, like, is he going to be the guy? Maybe he's just the guy. And then they got to the World Series, and it was like, well, of course he's going to stay. When for you would it be you're the manager now?
Well, I mean, I think you have to approach Donnie Baseball
and ask him if
a little bit differently. Yeah. I mean, Donnie Baseball.
Yes.
So it really depends on what he wants.
Let's say he's willing to do it again next year. Is he just the manager if they do well this season? Or because to me, the part that's fascinating is the Cora thing still looms.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's he wanted him.
And he told us. He said, I tried to get Alex. Alex said no. I said, all right, Don, you're the man.
Just the most bizarre thing.
I've never heard it before.
Dombrowski does give you things. I can't say, like, you know, unlike the Eagles who never tell you anything. No. You know, he just, I want a Cora.
He told us this was his second choice.
Yes.
So that still looms, right? Until Cora gets another job, that's still there.
If they do really well under him, and that by well, it means go forward a little bit this year in the postseason as opposed to backwards.
Then he's the guy?
And he wants it? Yeah.
It's got to be after the season. Like, sometimes you do fail upwards a little bit. Like, remember when the Eagles went, we did WIP picks the quarterback. Angelo picked Russell Wilson.
I think
we wanted.
He yelled at me for wanting to stick with
Aaron Rodgers. But they ended
Deshaun Watson.
We heard they tried to get some of these guys. Yeah. They end up with Jalen, and then they end up having success. Like, maybe Mattingly is just the perfect fit for this team right now.
It could be. Yeah, I mean that happens sometimes.
Well, it just seems like he's a very like Rob Thompson was chill, right? Don Mattingly strikes me as no nonsense.
Yeah.
Where he just when they said what was it when Bryce had said. He thinks Bryson Stott should play every day.
Yes.
And Tom Adding said, I appreciate all opinions.
Well, then,
you know.
It's nice thought, Bryce. Yeah,
what was it last week where he's 2 weeks ago when he talked about Bryce's defense? He said Bryce Harper's defense. It's been okay.
It's been okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He's very honest.
Yes. He's honest in a very just matter-of-fact way that you just can't really. What are you going to say about it?
You know, him and Dave are kind of similar in that way. They just sort of say what's...
Topper would lie to you.
Well, I mean, Mattingly and Dombrowski, like, they just sort of...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm Dombrowski.
They just tell you what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Mattingly and Topper, I think, are like, almost complete opposites in that way.
I also think Mattingly and this team's timeline kind of fits. Like, it's their last chance together. Like, Mattingly's never won a championship, right? No. All those years of playing, coaching, managing... This team and him are kind of the same. Like, this is their last shot together. If they don't win together, they're probably not going to win.
And maybe he's told them that.
Maybe he has. We're in this together. Yeah, we got one more shot at this.
This is it. If it doesn't happen now, things are going to get broken up.
Who's going to have that story? The next team the Phillies play? I mean, I need someone to have that story.
That was,
when do we play
was,
the Mets again?
Yeah,
it was really...
It was an amazing story.
As soon
story.
As I heard the soundbite, I went, wow, nobody's gotten that.
Buzz, can we hear it again in case someone just hopped in? So this was during the broadcast, the Mets broadcast Friday night, talking about Don Mattingly and his time here in Philadelphia, kind of what he said to the team when he first took over.
You know, they've taken off since. I went over to the Philly side, and I spoke with Brandon Marsh and just asked him, what happened? What is the difference when you do get a spark from a managerial change? And what he said was that when that happened, it was almost as if it felt like the players got smacked in the face. That, you know, they loved Rob Thompson, and it wasn't his fault. And it just kind of woke them up. And he said that they then had a meeting with Don Mattingly. And Mattingly said to the group, listen, I am sick and tired of hearing nobody yelling in the dugout, no conversation in the clubhouse. I don't care who you are, what your name is. I need guys that are going to fight for me innings 1 through 9. And for Marsh, and he said for everybody else, it just really snapped them back into focus, fired them up, and they kind of decided to start playing with their hair on fire again, not worrying about things. They said, we lost 11 in a row. Who cares? Now, if we just play, let it all out, we lose 12 in a row, worst case scenario. And ever since then, it's changed the whole vibe over there, and they have taken off and gone on a run where now they're well in striking distance of the division.
Couple things hit me from that. One, because we heard a lot, Rhea, when he took over, a lot of people said, well, he's similar to Topper.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time the player said Topper fired them up, right? Yeah. Not that he was doing a bad job, but he didn't fire them up. Yeah. Mattingly did. The second thing is him saying he was sick and tired of it means he was observing all this as the bench coach and internalizing it and saying, if I ever get the chance, I'm gonna do it different than Topper because this is ridiculous.
No, there's no doubt in my mind. And, like, again, from the moment he got here, I went, he's going to be in. But here, I will suggest, like Brandon Marsh said in that, you know, we had the 11-game losing streak, and so what if we have a 12-game losing streak? Then Joe will absolutely slap the interim time back on Don Mattingly.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're going to fire.
You just get fired.
Yeah, yeah, he's just out of here. Just
go 0 to 100 and then back to 0.
Yeah, we'll go to the next guy. All right, 215-592-9494. David in Westchester is up on WIP. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Kyle. First off, congratulations on being where you belong, buddy. You belong on that side of the glass.
Well, thank you, Dave. This is a one-day affair.
Interim. We're going to fire actually. Him after the show.
Yes. Yeah. We're not taking the tag off.
No.
Yeah. hang on. Hugh, stop eating that. That's not good. Stop it, Hugh. I have him a suit here. I can't.
Much less stressful it's going to be on this side, not telling Hugh not to do things.
I'm not playing with a fidget toy or, you know.
You don't have to worry about Hugh Douglas working blue. Yeah, yep. You don't do any of that. Go
it's
ahead,
like
David.
The Macarena.
Exactly. All right, Joe. So you are let's call it micromanaging right now. You're keying on one stupid little word of interim.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly what it means.
Don Mattingly is the manager. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. He's the manager. Who's the manager right now?
Don Mattingly.
There you go. So who cares if he's interim manager or manager?
Yeah, no, it means something if you're interim. It means you're here for now. That's what
I don't
interim
know
means.
If he cares.
Maybe he does. I care.
I kind of don't think he does.
I care.
I love you. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. Yeah.
I mean, Joe, he's an old man. He's, you know, he's not going to be around for, you know, he's my age. He's not going to be around for 10 years, like you said.
Yeah, you don't
and
got much longer.
He is in right. charge
Let's
of this
stop
team.
With
he
the old man. Jack McKeon managed Lee was in his, like, 80s, and Jim Leland.
Was that the Marlins manager?
Uh-huh. Yes, and he took over the middle of the season. Yeah. They won the World Series in
2003. We interviewed him once.
Jack McKeon?
Yeah, and he was going to the bathroom while he was on the phone with
that
us.
Sounds like Jack McKeon.
Yeah, it was like in the middle of the interview, we heard a plunge.
I got to tell you, I miss the manager that just didn't give a crap about anything.
Well, he gave one that day. Well,
Jim Leland smoking cigarettes in the dugout. I love those old school managers. Jack McKeon on
gave
the toilet.
Just going to bring that one up.
That's good.
The WIP or Channel 17 would pan over to Leland. He's standing there in his dugout smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah, bring
that
it back.
Was great.
So you're not taking the interim tag off, David?
No, well, not right now. You don't need to, Joe. You really don't need to. Why try to fix what's not broken? This isn't broken. This is working. And you ought to run with it, man. Just enjoy it. Because you know why? It's the Philly, so it's not going to last. But just run with this wave. Ride it, man. Wow. Just ride it, baby.
Well, I mean, to your point on that, whether it be the Phillies or not, they're probably not going to play at this pace the rest of the season, right? I mean, they're playing David Goodfellow.
Scorching. Which is great. I mean, listen, they've made the summer fun again.
They have.
So I thank them for that. I need my baseball team.
Well, in April, I thought it was over.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I started thinking about, like,
we're going to have a long...
What are we doing here? A lot of Jalen Hurts list talk,
we
people.
We did shows here between, 2011 and 2021 for a decade where we had no baseball.
Yeah.
By April 2nd.
I started here in the middle of that. 2013 was my first show here. And it was, baseball is my favorite to talk about. Yeah. So it was it was hard. I wanted to do it. I was like, but it's Tommy Joseph. Like, nobody cares.
Nobody cared. Where is he? Is he out of baseball now?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I'd have to imagine, right?
He had concussions.
Concussion issues.
And he wasn't that great of a player. Yeah. On top of it all.
I agree with the it's not broke, don't fix it thing. Like, it was broke and they fixed it. And now why am I going to make a change again just for the sake of making a change?
It's a reward. He's earned it.
Well, it's been 56 games. They're not rewarding anybody for 56 games.
56 great games that have changed the season.
They've only won 38 of them.
Well, that's pretty good. Rhea, where are you on this division? They're only three back now.
I'd said I wouldn't start looking at the standings until they got to five. And now I'm looking at the standings. So the Braves, in the last 10 games, they're 3-7. They've obviously got injury issues.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing is, they weren't going to play as scorching a pace as they were.
Yes.
But the Phillies look so bad. But to be 10 games over, what was the stat? They're the first team in history.
Yeah.
To be 10 under
before
in
July.
April.
And then 10 over.
Before July 1st.
Yep. It's pretty remarkable. But now, I mean, once you get to three games, why not? Because They're some of their big guys are still not going to be back for a while.
Yeah, Acuna most specific. And I don't even know if Strider is going to be the same ever again.
No, I don't think he is.
He looks cooked.
Yeah. Well, that's all that legwork will do it
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it will. And the Phillies see them not until September, then we get them 7 times in 10 days. So if we're
that could be wild.
Of course it could. Yeah. If we're within 3 or 4 games, I mean that's it right there.
Or ahead.
Or well, they could bury him. Imagine that if the Phillies buried the Braves before the middle of September.
That would be fun.
They were 11 back 3 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you just thought there was and the thing is the Phillies kept winning, and they weren't gaining any ground
for
whatsoever.
Like a month. Yeah. No, it's been remarkable. 215-592-9494. All right. Along with everything we're talking about today, we do have a great giveaway. We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic presented by USA Baseball Friday, July 10th, 7 p.m., Citizens Bank Park. For tickets, information, MLB.com. So this is part of the All-Star festivities. I know you guys were giving away the Futures game tickets
Correct.
This morning. So all the great stuff going on at the park, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday Home Run Derby, the game Tuesday. So we have the tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. We had Milt Thompson in on a Friday with us.
He's the best.
He was awesome. And telling us about the game and why it's such a cool thing. So, all right. So, Hugh's not here today, but we thought we can't not have fun with Hugh Douglas.
We're
even
gonna
when
talk
he's
crap behind his back.
Yeah. So, here's what we're looking for today. So, the best.
It's not behind his back, by the
That's
way.
That's true.
He'll hear it.
Nobody's listening.
The best answer we get to this today wins the tickets. Your favorite Hugh Douglas moment, your go to Hugh Douglas moment. Now, this could be as a player, and obviously, there are a lot of great moments as a player. Or it could be as a radio host.
Or as an actor. I mean, Hugh's wore many hats in his life.
He's given us a lot. So your go-to Hugh Douglas moment story, the best one we get today, wins these tickets. I'm going to take one off the board because I feel it's going to be very popular. And I don't want to have to, like, just the first caller gets it. Can we hear my favorite, of course, is when he took out Sean King back in the vet against the Bucs. Let's hear it. It's my favorite moment. It's the call. You know what else I love? I love the roar of the crowd at the vet. The new stadiums where you just don't sound
they,
like
they
that.
They don't have it. Like what I love is the quality of the sound.
Yes.
It was so bad back
you
in the day.
You could tell how long ago that was.
It's been a long, long time.
It's been 26 years.
I have a lot of Hugh Doug, because, you know, Hugh worked with us on the morning show many, many years ago. That a lot of ones I can't tell. The story that I love he told last week, because I'm not surprised by it all. That he never paid attention on the defense, and Hollis had to tell him what the plays were. Hollis, what are we running? He's like, never listened. And that sounds absolutely like you.
The huddle's like our huddle before the show. It's to say,
he doesn't listen in there either. No.
I think my favorite was when he fantasized openly about Dak Prescott in an Eagles uniform on our show.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then he was upset that people were upset at him.
Yeah.
We were like, Hugh, you know what you just did.
I think it really marked the first time where it was Hugh. Like, because usually it's like, Joe and Kyle, you idiots. Like, get Hugh Douglas out of there. Like, he's the only cool one.
No, yeah.
And that was the moment where everyone was like, not you too, Hugh.
Yeah.
Like, you have betrayed us.
I think my favorite part of it was he thought it was no different than if I were to say, imagine if Burrow or Allen were here, right?
Sure.
Look at all this talent. But it's a Cowboy.
It's a Cowboy.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You can't just like put Dak here. It's not the same.
And we got Twitter fingers, Hugh, for a solid like 48 hours after.
It was bad.
Oh, it was a lot. But it's a good Hugh Douglas moment. There's so many. All right, best answer we get today to your favorite Hugh Douglas moment, go-to Hugh Douglas moment, wins the tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. Let's go to... So Linda in Ballard wanted to talk to Rhea while she's with us about Derek Hill. Linda, good to hear from you.
Linda.
Thank you. Miss Rhea, here's you, sweetie.
Miss Linda, how are you doing?
Honey, I missed you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
So much. And I love hearing your voice.
Thank you.
It's just a wonderful thing.
It's so funny. Whenever I hear Linda in Balakinwood, I think that doesn't sound right. But you've been there for a long time now, right?
6 years, July 12th.
There you go. I love it.
I'll be 78 in August, Ray.
Oh, my God. When's your birthday in August?
31st.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, happy birthday. I will be thinking of you that day.
Thank you, honey. You know what that catch reminded me of, Ray, and you're going to remember this. Aaron Rowan running into that gate and breaking his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Broke his face.
He did.
Linda, I showed my son the Hill catch, and then I showed him the Aaron Rowan catch, and he goes, what happened to his face? I go, he broke it.
He ran right into that wall.
He didn't play for like a month. So, yeah, I showed it to my son right after I showed him the hill catch.
Yeah, and that was right after Ricky Waters said, for who, for what? And Aaron Rowan said, for who, for what? For my teammates, he said. And I just love that. But anyway, that's all. You guys, I don't have a favorite Hugh moment.
Oh,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. Linda, that's okay.
All of y'all take care.
Take care, Linda.
I send my love. Rhea, take care.
Take care, Linda.
Thank you for the call, Linda.
She's been calling forever. She's the best.
I love Linda. Her and I used to talk a lot of baseball when I was
night.
At night. Yeah.
At night,
she loves.
I don't know if I know a single caller who loves baseball more than her.
I used to say to her, I think you watch more baseball than I do.
Yeah,
she knew all the teams and players. She's awesome. Great caller. And that, I mean, is it the best Cats we've seen here since Rowan? It might be.
It might be. And I will tell you, if you do go online and Google the Rowan catch and Facebook, you know, into the. There's one where it's got a split screen of him like today, and he goes through it. It's pretty wild.
Oh, wow.
He's talking about it, and it's like, oh, my God.
The other catch I think about, and it's not good. It's just I was like holding my breath that he caught it. Remember Odubel catching the ball
hitter?
For the no-hitter for Hamels?
In Chicago,
when
right?
When he like spun around and then fell down, and it was like, that wasn't even that hard of a catch.
No, it wasn't.
He made it look so hard.
The degree of difficulty he turned that into.
Yeah, well, that was him.
It was frightening.
Yes, it was. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Rhea, thank you so much for being
here. Thanks, guys.
All right, your phone
calls. We'll see you at the game tonight.
Yes, everyone's going to the game tonight.
I'm going.
Could see Aaron Nola pitch. Get excited. Nola tonight. He's actually been better lately.
He's been okay.
Yeah. No,
and you know what? That's all I need.
Give me 5 innings, 2 runs, and we're
good.
We're cool with that. Thank you, Rhea. All right. We got a lot to get to coming up here. Your phone calls list, your go-to Hugh Douglas moment for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park on Friday, July 10th. We also, of course, got to get into something said by an ex-Eagle on Friday. You know, I can't decide whether it's just, hey, man, shut up, or does the guy have a point? We'll talk about that next, because he said something that really resonated with me in the midst of a crazy, wild article. That's next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The